Let's take our Bibles and turn in them first to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13. It's found on page 1278 in the Pew Bibles, Hebrews 4, verse 13. And we'll turn back to the book of Psalms, from which our text is taken. Hebrews 4, verse 13, people of God, hear now the very words of God. No creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. It's found on page 662. We'll read the entire psalm. Our focus, though, will be on verses 13 through 18. Psalm 139. To the choir master, Psalm of David. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to You. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with You. Now the words of our text. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In Your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with You. Oh, that You would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against You with malicious intent. Your enemies take Your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord, and do I not loathe those who rise up against You? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, human life, it's precious. Now maybe you took some time this morning to see the snow as it was falling down. You know, so calm, so gentle, but that is nothing compared to human life. How precious it is. How precious do we think it is, though? Life in the womb, life with handicaps, life near the end. We're here today. I don't have to do the math for you, but you know, 48 years ago, a decision was made in our country that preborn life is not very important. In fact, isn't life at all. And also today, someone who has handicaps, weaknesses, even someone who's old,
They're at times thought to be less valuable, not worth the effort than someone maybe who's young or vigorous who I can see what they can contribute to me. Breaks the heart. Again, this isn't new to you. But it's good to take time to go to God's Word and remind ourselves to hear again what God thinks of human life. And the clear, consistent testimony of the Scriptures is of the sanctity of human life. That as I proclaim to you this morning, human life matters to God. Human life matters to God. First, we want to consider from verses 13 and 14 that God forms life. God forms life. Now, we could have read from many passages, but the one we did read from, it's clear that human life matters. How does this come out? Well, to begin with, it's because God forms it. He doesn't leave it up to someone else. Only God is intimately involved. Here again, these verses. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. The psalmist King David here is writing of a baby being knit together in his or her mother's womb. Think of that. Before birth, when our body was still being formed, God was there. God saw even more. God was doing it. Again, we read, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Now, without a doubt, God uses secondary means. He's created us wonderfully, amazingly. Once life begins at the moment of conception, the cells divide and they multiply. There's life, human life. It's not dog life. It's not a cat that's there. It's not some pre-human. It's human life. As the cells divide and multiply, they begin to take on specific functions and form specific parts of the body. We know nowadays that the heart is already beating anywhere from 16 to 21 days after conception. 3 weeks. And no doubt many here have seen ultrasound images of babies who are 20 weeks, maybe 10 weeks, some other time along. It's amazing, isn't it? About how those babies are already formed. We as Christians, we do not deny science, do we? We embrace true science. It shows the handiwork. It shows the power, the wisdom of God. Ultrasounds, they're not some theory about what may have happened in the past. It shows what's there right now. You don't have to guess. You don't have to theorize. It's there. You see the baby right there, human life. Some time ago, a pro-life organization gave out some small figures about the size of a baby that's 10 to 12 weeks after conception. And I usually show those to couples during premarital counseling. It's human life. It's amazing. Now, much of how this happens, it is still a mystery to us. But we know theologically, we know that God has made humans to do this. He made us this way. God gave the command. We saw it in our Genesis series. It's very familiar, to be fruitful and multiply. That's what God built into creation. And it's happened billions of times since God created Adam and Eve. Not just once, not just twice. Every human being who has ever lived has been formed and knitted together. Now, the psalmist, he didn't have the scientific advanced knowledge we have. They didn't have ultrasounds, but he knew humans, human life, when it began, as it developed, it's there in the womb. Like millions of persons had already been born and lived by the time David lived. And yet, what does he say? He says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God forms life. God creates life. God creates every human life. God forms that human body. Again, there's mystery. Mystery with the how, and there's even theological discussions about traducianism and so forth. But make no mistake, from the moment of conception, there is life, real human life. God made it. God cares about it. Ladies, God has given you an exalted place. Now, in God's providence, not every lady will bear children. But as a whole, ladies, you are given an exalted place. You get to be right there as God works this amazing work, new life, this knitting together in the womb of that life, that human. Pregnancy can be hard. I have to tell the ladies that. It can seem long, strains your body. But think often, ladies, of what's going on inside of you during that time. God is doing a wonderful work. Think and pray and praise God. That's what the psalmist did. We move on to verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We honor women, all women, but also pregnant women, and it's fitting to do so. They are involved in a great work of service, of self-sacrifice. It is a great honor to carry a baby. It is not a shame. It's an honor. And husbands, men, while there are occasions, there are situations you and your wife might chuckle about in pregnancy, make sure your wife, make sure the women know that you honor them. Don't mock. Don't demean their limitations, their hardships. God's doing a wonderful work there. We know that. In a world, in a society that does not value pre-born life, be different. Show that value. It is a great honor to carry a baby, and we honor such, but we praise God, don't we? It's God who forms and knits together. It's God who makes us. This whole work of pregnancy is wonderful. As the psalmist says, my soul knows it very well. What does his soul know? That it is human life? Well, yes, but even more, that God's works are wonderful. Yes, this work of pregnancy is wonderful. Yes, human life is wonderful. Human life matters to God. You and I must never forget that. By God's grace, we must live it out. How can we live it out? Well, honor. Honoring is one way. How we speak. But also standing for life. Voting in ways that support life. Praying for our nation. Praying for revival, that the citizens would honor preborn life. Praying that abortion will stop. Working toward that end. Praying that our people would honor life at all stages. No matter the supposed inconvenience. Many ways to support and promote life, preborn and after birth. Be aware, be on the lookout for it. God presents that to you. Ask God, Lord, show me where. He will. Human life matters to God. God forms life. But there's more as we move to in our second point. God also determines life. Verses 15 through 16, God determines life. Now, Psalm 139 talks aloud about God being present everywhere and knowing all things. The psalmist cannot flee from God's presence. We read that. Verses 13 through 14, as we've seen, talk about how God formed the psalmist and every human in the womb. But closely tied to God's forming us is that God knows all about us. Here again, these verses. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So not only did God form and he knitted together the psalmist in his mother's womb and all humans, but God is fully aware of what he is doing. Now think of a builder. He builds something. Maybe he builds it again and again and again and again and again. Imagine if someone could build billions and billions of the same thing. They got an assembly line. Well, it's second nature. You don't have to think about it. We have the saying, I could do that in my sleep. Maybe you drive down the same stretch of road almost every day. You know it. You don't have to think about it. Your mind wanders. Maybe you turn on the radio. Maybe you talk on the phone. Not so with God and each and every human life. God is aware and he's fully engaged as he forms every human in the womb. The psalmist was formed in secret. as he wrote there in verse 15, but it was not hidden from God. God's forming, his knitting, were not done by God at a distance. God is there. God is there in the womb. Now, we don't know exactly what the psalmist meant when he wrote there that he was intricately woven in the depths of the earth, but it seems to get at how the womb is hidden from sight, except from God. Now, we're able with ultrasounds more recently to peer into those so-called depths of the earth, and literally depths of the earth with radar and the farthest points of the universe with telescopes. God is there. He sees in those depths. He reaches there as only the Creator can reach. Even with all our technology, there are things in the depths and space in the womb that are hidden from us, but not from God. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God, to whom we must give account. We read that in Hebrews 4, verse 13. Again, that's the message of the Bible. But there's more that the psalmist brings out. God is there, yes. God sees, yes. God forms, he knitted together, yes. But as verse 16 tells us, in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. We read that. In your book were written, everyone. Not in man's book. Not in the mother's book. Not even in the psalmist's own book. In God's book. Human life ultimately does not belong to man in general. Does not belong to the mother of the child. Does not even belong to ourselves, our life. Each and every human life belongs to God and is under God's supervision, God's sovereignty. Well, certainly that has implications for being pro-life before birth in the womb, but all through our lives. Your life is not your own. And the choices you and I make, they are real choices, and we are responsible to make godly choices all throughout our lives. But it's not as though those choices are made independent of others or are completely within our authority, our right to make, whether those choices concern our own bodies, our own selves, or that of someone else. The phrase, my body, my choice, well, that's wrong theologically because the baby in the womb is a separate person from his or her mother. But also the woman's own body, a man's own body, ultimately is under God's authority. God's ownership. And it affects not only life in the womb, but affects our decisions of how we use our bodies now, with how we take care of them, how we treat them, what we do to them, don't do to them. Young people, keep that in mind. Many people say, express yourself with your body, do this, do that. But you say, wait, as a Christian, my body belongs to God. There is a God. We are not him. There is a God. He is God. And in God's book were written all your days. The days of every human being. God wrote them. Not man, not you, not I. The psalmist is clear. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God doesn't write down our days as they happen, as though he's some omniscient video recorder. He wrote them down, all of them down, before any of them happened. God is sovereign. That means he's in control. God rules. God has the authority. God has the power over us in each one of our days. God determines life. Again, many people don't think like that and don't like that Christian message. They think they own their body. They think they own their life. They think they own their days. Now, it is true that other humans ought not to own our bodies, our life, our days, whether it be the government or a plantation owner or a business owner or what have you. But God is no creature. He's the creator. He formed our inward parts. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. God made us, fearfully and wonderfully made us. God is sovereign over you, over me. There is no right to privacy with regard to God. And while the governments of man and neighbors, others ought to recognize and respect God-given rights, it is God who is ultimate. The creature has no rights against God. And that's one thing that even atheists themselves have admitted. They can't stand the idea that they must give account to a being who knows their thoughts, who sees into their depths where there's no privacy. Just because someone doesn't like it doesn't change it. That's true. God is God. He's sovereign. He has authority over us. From the first moment of your life and my life, before we were aware we were alive, before your parents knew you were alive, all the way to your last moment on this earth, even if no one is aware of what's going on, even if you are alone in this world, God is with you. God knows. God sees. God has written in His book every one of your days. Whether those days stretch to 70, 80, 100 years, or whether those days are cut off in the womb, God knows. God wrote. God is sovereign. Even when life is cut off unjustly, unrighteously, whether it be unrighteously after 80 years, 40 years, or yet to be born, God is sovereign. And yet, just as it is God who forms and knits us together in our mother's womb, this forming, this knitting occurs through a process God created, the division, the multiplying of cells. So even as God knows and determines when a life is unrighteously cut off, it's often through the wickedness of man that it's done, whether by neglect, by beating, by abortion. God is sovereign, but man is responsible. Those are Bible truths. They don't contradict each other, even though it's mysterious to us how they interact. But God determines life. Yet we're responsible to protect life, to promote life. We find great comfort in God's sovereignty. But we don't abdicate, we don't give up our responsibility. Don't become passive in protecting life in light of God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty instead spurs us on. We see that with what the psalmist wrote as he moves on in this psalm. As we come to in our third point, God blesses life. God blesses life. Verses 17 and 18. Here again, these verses. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. I want to focus for a minute on that word thoughts, verse 17. Now, what the psalmist wrote there could also be translated intentions or purpose or aim. Using that word thoughts gets at not just a passing thought, a fleeting thought, something that, yeah, it's there and gone again, but something you consider, something that's in your mind. It guides, it directs your actions. That's what he's getting at with that word thoughts. And connect that with what the psalmist just wrote, that in God's book were written every day of the psalmist's life. So God thinks about, he ponders, he has a purpose, he has an aim for every day of the psalmist's life, of your life, of my life. From the beginning of life, which God creates, God has a plan, he has a purpose. That's not some haphazard, distant thing. Now, we make a plan. How many of us make plans and we have to shelve them for a time, don't we? Or maybe you're building something, you pull out a set of blueprints once in a while. It's not that way with God. God not only knows and determines every moment as sovereign, but they are present in his mind. He is focused on you and me. That boggles the mind. You, me, all of us here, every human being who has ever lived, who will ever live, every living creature, every rock, every tree, every star, every planet, every proton, neutron, and electron, they are all there in God's mind. The psalmist takes this, the thoughts of God, God's intentions, his ever-present awareness, involvement, attention, planning, purposing, and it amazes him. How vast is the sum of them? Vast, that's an excellent word. But it's not just the quantity of that vastness. It connects with their being precious. Remember, the psalmist wrote, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Thinking more about that word precious. The psalmist says, verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts. How vast is the sum of them. If God's thoughts, his intentions, are precious to the psalmist, and they are, that relates and shows us that that life God created is precious. the baby he forms, he knits. Babies in the womb are precious, ought to be precious to us. And it's more than just that. Here's the psalmist. Here's an adult member of God's covenant, a believer. It's David, the king of Israel. God has traced out David's history from conception in his womb to be born of the tribe of Judah, to be raised as a shepherd in the family, to be anointed king of Israel, to be given wonderful promises that the Messiah would come through him. God is so attentive to David. He's blessed David. He's blessed him abundantly. And God's blessings are vast, manifold, beyond count. How great is the sum of them? God blesses the life he gives. It's almost like a dream. David says, I awake and I am still with you. But it's not a dream. David is still with God. All these blessings are not a dream. They're real. Life is real. Look at all the blessings around you. People of God, I don't know where each one of you is at. Past year has been hard. Many of us aren't looking forward to the next 4 years. But come away from all that. Don't obsess over them. Think of David. David, at some point in his life, we don't know exactly when he wrote this, but at some point, King Saul was hunting after him personally, directly. King Saul tried to kill David, even threw a spear at him and missed. David had enemies like the Philistines and others who were actively, actually attacking him to destroy him, to kill him. So many dangers, so many toils David faced. But does he focus on them? Oh, he brings them in prayer to God, yes. What does he bring out here? How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. It's good for us to wake up, to wake out of our fear and our worry, our sorrow. God sees. God knows. God cares. God governs. God loves. God blesses. Look at all the blessings in your life. Ponder them. The greatest blessing is that God gave his son Jesus to take upon himself, to our human nature, to be knit together in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And to even then already to be bearing our sin. Bearing it all the way to suffering and death on the cross. To pay for your sin, my sin, the sin of all who believe in Jesus. There's the greatest blessing of all. Trust him. Are you living in a nightmare? Maybe sometime in the past you did. Maybe there will be some time where it will seem like a nightmare. Wake up. See things as God sees them. Read the Bible. Study it. Hear God's promises. Maybe you say, I can't. It's too hopeless. It's too bad. We think in regard to life in the womb. Maybe you know someone who's pregnant and very scared. Girls, young ladies, maybe there will be some time in your life where you will be pregnant and scared. And it all seems dark. Guys, young men, maybe you'll do something in your life that will result in a girl getting pregnant and being scared. Abortion's not the answer. Please don't do that. There's shame, there's tears, there's hard times. But that baby's life is precious to God. Your life is precious to God. Ask for help. This church is committed to helping. And know that, again, God sent his son to take shame, our sin upon himself, all of it. He suffered and died for the sin of all those who entrust themselves to him. Believer, God forgives you. There's hope. There's blessing. Yes, we sin. Grievously sin. Maybe you've gotten an abortion. Maybe you've advised someone, maybe even pressured someone to get an abortion. That's not beyond God's power to forgive, to heal. David, the one who penned this psalm, he sinned. He committed adultery. He committed murder, ordered someone's murder. He brought great shame and disgrace on himself in God's holy name. But David confessed his sin and God forgave him. And so it can be with you. God forgives all those who repent and believe. He forgives every sin of his children. And wake up. God blesses life. See the blessings. Meditate on God's concern for you, his thoughts toward you. Value them, prize them. They are precious. We value life because God values it. Human life matters to God. That certainly means life in the womb, and it means life all along the way. God is a good God, a gracious God, a God who delights to bless. We see that with life in the womb. But we see it especially in God sending his Son to save sinners. That's what each one of us is. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. God sent Jesus to save sinners. Human life matters to God. Never forget that. But always, by God's grace, live in light of it. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how vast is the sum of your thoughts, how precious they are. How wonderful are your works. We think especially this day of your work of life in the womb, but all along the way, your care and concern. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us. Now, embolden us, Lord, and encourage us and strengthen us to value life and to keep valuing it, to show the wonder of that life, to glory in the blessings you pour out upon us. For you are a good God. We do pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.